Welcome to the Work, Wealth, and Travel Podcast. I'm your host, Nicole, and this podcast is your guide to start creating a lifestyle by design. From entrepreneurship, money and finance, taxes and residencies, and everything in between, this show highlights the nuances of a true global citizen lifestyle. Let's dive in.
Simone, welcome to the Work, Wealth, and Travel Podcast. I'm so looking forward to diving into all things finance and entrepreneurship today. But before we get into it, I would love for you to share a little bit more about your journey, your story, where you started, and how you got to where you are today.
Thank you for having me on here too. And I must say, I had a look at your website and you got me so excited and enthused when you mentioned about different situations you can do with tax and travel, et cetera, because it's some of my favorite topics, some of my favorite subjects. So, and I think they're topics that a lot of people ignore. And I think a lot of people ignore and avoid what it is that they could truly be choosing. And for myself, from a really young age, I guess the basis of all my choices was I knew I was different. And I would look outside and be like, this can't be it. You know, like the trauma and drama that people were choosing, or the, you know, at 14 years of age, they're like, what do you want to do when you leave school? And I'm like, I have no idea what I want to do when I leave school. And when they did keep asking me that question, so I looked at it and I went, okay, there's two things. One, I want to travel the world. Two, I want to own my own business. And then people used to go, oh, well, what business are you going to own? And I was like, I don't know yet. I know I would like to own my own business, because for me, having a business was a way that you could create anything you desired in the world. It was, you could change the world. You could invite people to a different possibility, you know, all of that and more. And so business for me is very malleable. I think you need to be able to change it up all the time and have a level of like vulnerability with it. And does it match what it is you'd like to be in the world, see in the world? So that's pretty much how I started. And I think I sort of had those points of view so everyone would just shut up and leave me alone for a little bit so I could, you know, figure out, oh, I don't know what this is going to look like. And then I left to go traveling when I was 19, told everyone I was going for 6 months and ended up staying overseas for about 3 years and came home. And, you know, my family and friends did that thing of patting me on the back and saying, well, you've got that out of your system now, you know. And I was like, are you kidding me? This is just the beginning. I've just started discovering the world. And so for me, I was like, okay, what can I create where I could travel the world and I could still earn money? Because one of the things I had to do was live back with my parents because I had no money by the time I came home. And I went, okay, I don't want to do that. I need to actually make money whilst traveling as well. So I started exploring so many different industries to the point, Nicole, where there were so many projections and judgments verbally, and I'm going to say energetically as well, of I can't make up my mind, I can't settle down, you know, I can't focus on one thing, you know, all of that. And yeah, that was correct to a point. But what I was so grateful for myself was having the courage to just keep moving and keep choosing. I would, you know, work in an industry and then I was like, well, I'm done. I've learned what I came here to learn. And then move on, which I remember there was one guy in Australia and he said to me, you do realize how bad your resume looks, right? And I was like, well, I'm bored. Like I want to move on, you know? And so I did. And it's made me, every single job I've had has made me who I am today. And I do have that sense. I have a lot of different information about a lot of different things, but definitely the two things that have driven me my whole life is I think there's so much more on this planet for us than what we are currently choosing. I wrote a whole piece on being vulnerable many, many years ago. And I had this awareness of like, what would it be like? What sort of planet could we be on if we were willing to be vulnerable with each other and with ourselves as well? What could we create here on the earth, right? So that was a very key element to me. And then travel was a key element to me. So I actually did create a business called Good Vibes For You. And I worked in the music industry in Australia for a while. I did merchandise. I literally, from conversations I had with people all over the world traveling, I would write down these sayings or something that they would say that would inspire me. And so I ended up having this business that had all these sayings on t-shirts, on stickers, on magnets, on, you know, everything. And then I did lots of festivals, expos, etc. And then I met Gary Douglas, who is the founder of Access Consciousness, at one of these expos, and went and heard him talk. And I was like, oh my goodness, this guy's talking about everything I would like to create on the planet. You know, I've got it in t-shirts and I want to grab people by the shoulders and say, don't you get it? There's something else, you know? And he had these tools and these processes and this way of, I guess, pivoting and changing the trajectory of your life and any of the areas that you think is not working for you. Because most people think they have a problem with something. And my point of view is you don't have a problem. There's nothing to fix. What other possibilities are available, you know? So then I started working with Access Consciousness. I'm keeping this, you know, as short as I can. Started working with Access Consciousness, and that was about 22 years ago. And I travel the world now with seminars, you know, facilitating seminars, facilitating thousands of people, being a big growth in the business. When I came along, we were in 4 countries. Now, I think we're at about 185 countries or something like that. So it's huge. So here I am today, happy. I've gone through lots of different places with money, with business. I have stumbled and fallen and got back up and chosen something different and learned to laugh at some of the choices I've made. And yeah, here I am.
So I have a few topics actually that I want to touch on with you, being the mindset aspect. Also, the being a female in business, it's very different being a female and the expectations, and also being an entrepreneur and putting your business as a priority. But before we get into those topics, I want to read something that your agent sent me, and I want to chat about what your business growth has looked like, and maybe from the beginning, maybe I don't know where the best place to start, but I want to know what it really looks like for you to build that up from nothing. So she sent this over to me and I thought that it was very interesting. She said, you were $187,000 in debt when you realized that you needed to make a big change. With the help of the tools featured in your book, Getting Out of Debt Joyfully, you successfully got out of debt within 2 years. Today, you're a multimillionaire with diverse business portfolio ranging from co-owning a castle in Italy. That's wild. I love this. An eco resort in Costa Rica, several Australian antique stores, and a fitness franchise. So what a wild journey. Please explain to me what that business trajectory and business growth has looked like for you, starting from zero to amassing what you have today, which is amazing.
You know, it's really interesting. Every time anyone reads and comments, I hear it from this different angle, because when you're living it and choosing it, you're just living it and choosing it. You're like, that's my normal life. But if you'd said to me, you're going to be owning a castle in Italy 10 years ago, I would have been like, no, I'm not. Like, you know, or, you know, this resort in Costa Rica, et cetera. So look, every single one of those businesses and those possibilities has literally just shown up. Like, I haven't gone, I am now going to find something that I can invest in the fitness industry, or I'm going to find a castle. There was a good friend of mine, Gary Douglas, who's the founder of Access. He actually made this comment one day and said, I'd love to own a castle in Italy. So from that, an Italian facilitator that we knew went, hey, I found out they had this castle in a place called Casa Borgoni. You know, no one's lived in it for 40 years. It's really run down. Do you want to check it out? So he did, and we did. And then there's about 8 of us that are part owners of it. And so we did it. We did it up. And now it's this beautiful boutique hotel that is, you just kind of describe the sense of space that you have there when you're there. So it just sort of showed up. Same thing as in Costa Rica. We do these big events every year. And every year we were going to Costa Rica and we were paying other resorts and we were sort of starting to explode in these resorts. Like, it was, you know, how many people can we fit in a room, you know, to have this here, you know, standing room only. So we started talking about, what if we created our own? So it's actually not 100% finished, but it's open. Like, we've opened a lot of it. We're still working on it. We're literally going to have, I think it's going to be the biggest venue in Costa Rica, if not all of those surrounding, you know, countries. So it's absolutely fabulous. And we have all our amazing horses there and everything too. So, but they showed up. But I will give you one example of a tool that I used, because when I say it showed up, people get sort of annoyed. But if you, honestly, if you start to listen to the whispers, then you'll know, like something will go and you'll be like, what's that? What's that? But to me, it's not going to a conclusion of how you create your life, your business. It's being open to, you know, the possibilities, because there's possibilities everywhere. But we keep walking through life thinking that we need to, you know, work it out, you know, choose based on the result that we think is going to be the best for us. Well, what if we didn't? What if we actually practice these random choices of being out of control? And I don't mean out of control like dancing on tabletops. I mean out of control of stop trying to think that you are the only one that can do your business that way. Start receiving from others, receiving the ideas, receiving the possibilities and all of that. And so one of the things I used to do is with Access, the business, I was living part-time in California and part-time in Australia. And I noticed when I was in Australia, I could wake up and I could have the sense of how the business was in Australia and say New Zealand. When I was in California, I could wake up and I could have the sense of how the business was in the US and Canada. They were the four countries we were in. I was like, why is it that I can't have that same sense when I'm in Australia, you know, and vice versa? So I remember asking Gary about it and he said, you need to literally expand your awareness over the whole entire planet. So I used to, you know, like those kids' globes or any globe that you have and you swirl around, like that image. I used to lie in bed and I would picture the globe. And here's where all my jobs come into action. One of the jobs I had was working in the travel industry. So, and we had to, you know the world map without it being marked out and be able to mark it out ourselves. So like, that's a classic example of one of the jobs I had contributed to me just having this perspective of the entirety of the planet, without having to go, where's Iceland? Where's Uruguay? Where's, you know, I knew it. So I would lie in bed and I would literally just grab like the energy I knew was possible of what we could create here on the planet and pull it like around the whole entire globe. And then I'd ask a question, where is my energy required today? It's like, who can I talk to? You know, what could show up today? And I'd listen, start to listen to those whispers. And the interesting thing is, if you had a plan and you went, okay, where are the next places that we will go? It wouldn't have showed up the way it showed up. One of the next countries we went to was Korea. And then the country after that was Italy. It was Korea, Italy, and then the UK. Now, that doesn't make any logical sense. But we had so many expats who, you know, had friends who were in Canada or Australia, and they were, you know, getting some of the body work, the bars that we do, or learning about Access Consciousness. And so they were expats in Korea and we're like, we want to know more. So that's actually where we went, one of the first places we went to, and opened up Access there. And then from there, it sort of just kept going and going and going. So I'm not opposed to having some sort of structure, or the, you know, people have budgets and things like that. But you've got to be able to change it. And for me, what works way better is if you have a system in place that's malleable, so then you can start to listen to what the business is actually telling you, what other possibilities are available, rather than just going, no, this is where we're going. This is where we're going and this is where we're heading. It's like, there's so much more that can be created from relaxation and from the ease of choosing.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I love that that is your method to the madness in business. And it's funny that you mentioned that, because my partner and I, we travel the world full time and we do something that sounds like very similar. We run our businesses online and we don't plan too far into the future. Of course, I like the spontaneity of it personally, but I also like to keep it open for business opportunities that may come up in another country. We've been in Latin America for the last year and a half, and there's so much opportunity here, but you have to have the flexibility to be able to travel, to go to a different city, to go to a different country. And so for us, we found that that works best. And then we really embrace that. You know, you can choose to embrace the chaos sometimes or resist it. And so that's just part of our lifestyle now.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think a lot of people do avoid the chaos, and it's sort of like chaos is a bad word. I'm like, what if chaos is actually a priority? Look, I think there's a balance between chaos and order, but in truth, more chaos, I'd lean into the chaos. So, you know, and really, I mean, I was having a meeting yesterday with some people I work with, and living in Australia is interesting because we work so worldwide. when you wake up in Australia, everyone in America, like, you know, America is awake. Europe is still awake. So you've got this energy of people going, are you awake yet? Are you awake yet? Are you awake yet? And you wake up and there's, you know, there's threads, there's different platforms. So you could really set yourself every day you wake up on this little bit of a frenzy. So I was saying yesterday, look, let's look at everything and what do we actually require? Like I'm big for 20-minute meetings, you know, and let's get things done like that. And also, what if we all really practice that waking up and asking that question, where is my energy required today? Because your energy doesn't need to be, I've got to answer every single WhatsApp, Telegram, you know, Skype, et cetera. That would drive me crazy. It's like, no, you have such a greater awareness than that. And if you function from that, that's the chaos. The order is, oh, I've got to answer everything before I can actually choose. No. I mean, I'm a big believer too, Nicole, in living your life. Enjoy it. If you don't enjoy what you're doing, what are you doing?
Exactly. Yep. Could not agree more. So, okay. So I want to talk to you. And so personally, from my side of things, I'm a very type A person. Anybody who knows me will know that. But I've been getting more into spirituality lately, which has been a very interesting journey for me. So it sounds like that is something that you have quite a bit of experience in the mindset work and really what has to go on in order to have a successful business that is not just doing the work and doing all of the work all of the time. A lot of it is what is untouchable, unseeable, and it's that mindset piece. So speak to me a little bit about that and what that has looked like for your business journey. I know that's probably a very all-encompassing question, but I'm curious what that has looked like on your end.
Yeah, but here's the thing. It's like when you actually instill chaos, it's like you go to the energy of it. And for me, when you asked that question, what came up was something like one of the tools I would use is, you know, you have the periodic chart, right? And it's like, this is all energies and science maps out what different energies are. Well, what I'm going to suggest is what if there's also different energies that science hasn't yet, you know, mapped out and put on the periodic chart? And what if they are elementals that are gratitude, joy, ease, you know? So it's like, and what if there's these elementals that you can play with and engage with? And so one of the questions I would ask a lot is, you know, what elementals can I engage with that would allow my business to expand? So if you look at the energy of that, it's like, or allow your, you know, your money, your wealth to exponentialize by engaging with the elementals. I mean, people throw around the word gratitude all the time. If you're truly functioning from gratitude, if you're functioning from a generosity of spirit, from, you know, having that relaxation in your body and in your business and in your money flows, is more going to show up for you. People go to, oh, you got, this is hard work. And it's like, I'm sorry, I've done the hard work. I've done all of that. And I think that's why I left so many jobs too, because I work a lot. Like I work long hours and I'm constantly doing things. And I don't also do that. You know, people go, oh, I hope you get to have time off. Oh, did you get to have a holiday? And I'm like, a holiday from what? My life is awesome. You know, if I go for a walk on the beach, it's usually those moments that I have these brilliant ideas. So I will take my phone and I will leave myself little voice notes or write a message or do something because I'll be like, ah, this, you know. I mean, everyone I work with, the big joke is because I always go, I was just in the shower because I'm an ideas girl in the shower. I will come out with ideas all the time, you know. So, but you're allowing those energies to contribute to you and your choices.
The only way this show grows is if you share the episodes you love and your key takeaways. If you've been loving this show, hit subscribe and leave a 5-star review with your favorite takeaways. We appreciate you and let's get back into the episode.
And if you go back in history, Nicole, before we had, you know, internet, TV and, you know, all the computers and everything like that, that's how they used to function. It was like they would be listening to the earth. They would be listening to, like I said, the whispers. And for me, it's about creating more awareness and more consciousness on the planet. So if you start to listen to that, then what do you know? What are you aware of? I think we know so much more than what we're willing to acknowledge. So if you start to play with those elementals of being just grateful, and people usually say with money as an example, you know, they will bitch and moan about the money that they don't have rather than what if you flipped it? I don't care if you have $10 and you start being grateful for that $10, will something different show up? And I knew you mentioned $187,000 in debt. I knew that I had to change something. And I remember reading this quote by Einstein, and he said, doing the same thing and expecting a different result is the sign of insanity. And I was like, I'm doing the same thing and expecting a different result. I'm hoping someone knocks on my door and goes, Simone, don't worry about it. You don't need to owe, you don't owe all that money. You know, they'll go away. And I realize I have to make a different choice here. This is my life, my choice. So against my, like I wanted to stay in the same track and have something different, and it wasn't working. So I knew that I had to use these tools. So, and I was using access consciousness tools, and it was changing my life in every area. And I refused to use them with money until one day I went, this is ridiculous. So what if I use them? So I used them and didn't say I enjoyed using those tools to begin with, but I literally set myself a reminder for 3 months. And I thought, if I start to use these, you know, access consciousness money tools for 3 months and see what changes. And at the end of 3 months, I sat down in my office and I looked at everything. And there was one key piece that I realized was I didn't have a whole lot of money. But the point of view around money had changed. My judgment, my desperateness for money had changed. Because I was one of those people who was really good at going, rent's due on Friday, you know, and it's Thursday. And I'm like, how am I going to get that? Like, I could always pull money up, you know, at the last minute. And I noticed that it was such a different energy where I wasn't desperate to find money each week. I actually had money. And I think a lot of people avoid just having money. That's what I found from doing all the classes and seminars that I do. We have these insane points of view that lock us up, something like that, the not willingness to receive.
So you would say that if you really had to attribute one thing to your success of getting out of debt and getting your money shit together, it sounds like it would be really doing the work behind it and changing your mindset.
Yep. And look, one of the tools I used was, because we're so quick to have a point of view, right? So say you walk past a restaurant and it's a restaurant that looks like it's, you know, it's expensive, you know, and you go, you just so quickly, you'll go, oh, that's too expensive. Or you look at a menu and you're asking your body, what would you like to eat and drink? And your body goes, ah, can we get lobster and champagne? And you go, that's too expensive. Or a car drives past and you go, gosh, that car would cost a fortune. Or the other way, you go, God, look how cheap that car is. They must be poor or something. Like we're so quick to have a point of view. And one of the things, Nicole, I realized was I didn't know what my point of view was around money. I realized I was buying my parents' point of view, Australia's point of view, like, you know, where I was born, like the people you surround yourself by, your school, your teachers, everything. That something is too much. You know, in Australia, we have this terrible thing called the tall poppy syndrome. And if you become successful quickly or make too much money quickly, it's called the tall poppy syndrome and you get cut down, like you get judged basically. But if you've shown you put in some good hard work, then maybe Australians will be like, she did well, you know? And it's like, why would you not be grateful that somebody chose something greater? So you have all these different points of view. So one of the things that I did practice diligently was every single time I noticed any point of view about money came up, I would destroy and uncreate that point of view and ask a question. If I was choosing my financial reality, what would I choose here? What would work for me? And I started to explore what that was for me. Because also we could do that thing of going, oh, you go to the most expensive, it's the best. Not necessarily. If it wasn't about the money, what would you choose? You know, what are the most comfortable shoes for you to wear? Is it the most expensive or is it the most comfortable pair of shoes? You know, but we get entrained with a point of view. So I realized I had to start asking questions of what is my point of view here?
Wow. So interesting. And, you know, in you saying that, for me personally, I think one of the biggest lessons that entrepreneurship has taught me is to change my mindset, and that growth and change is something that's always positive. Whether it's positive, negative, it's still going to be positive for me and my outcome and my mindset in the long run. Maybe we don't see the reasoning now, but in the long run. And I think it's really interesting when I hear other people's perspective. This is not your or I's perspective, but other people's perspective who usually are not running a business for themselves, and the tall poppy syndrome. It's very much so the narrative of, why do they have that? Why do they get that? And it's very easy to you know, we're all brought up in cultures where I think it's unfortunately that is the norm. But when you start, I have found when you start working for yourself and you start wanting to build something for yourself, I appreciate those. I don't care if they're millionaires, billionaires, more than billionaire, you know, like I appreciate the work that has gone into it and they deserve that. And I actually had a very interesting quote from a past podcast guest that always stuck out with me. And he said, billionaires, because he had a few billionaire friends, and he said, you know, billionaires, they put in the work and they put in the time. Do you think that they like getting divorced? And for me, I was just like, oh, wow. But in order to have that perspective, you have to be around people who are the millionaires, the billionaires, the people who work hard and who make big sacrifices, but that a lot of people don't see what those sacrifices are.
Yeah. And I think also that with the sacrifices, a lot of the times it's literally having the courage to change, to pivot. You know, like, I mean, even right now with my business, I was like, something needs to change. And I've been sort of asking questions for the past few weeks and you know, did that thing of going, okay, so what if we fired everyone, who would we hire? You know, just energetically so I could look at it. And I realized what I got to for me was I was expecting everybody that I work with to be able to be involved in everything that I was involved in at this like level that I am. I went, that's insane. That's having an expectation of somebody to be, you know, an amazing creator mover when what they're great at is dotting I's and crossing T's. So I realized, okay, Simone, what if you had somebody who worked with you on these projects over here, and then somebody else on another project, somebody else who's doing the back end stuff. And they are all doing that to an extent, but I was sort of going, come on, let's go. And I went, this is sort of unkind to them as well. So I think you need to be successful, you've also really got to have that courage to say, okay, I'm going to pivot. I'm going to change everything, change the trajectory. And where am I heading? And know where you're heading. If you know where you're heading, and it doesn't matter if anyone can come or not, just friggin' go.
Yeah, I love that. And that's why I love business, owning a business, entrepreneurship. You're always learning new things about yourself that who knows how otherwise you would find these things out.
You really are, though. You really are. It's not just like you don't get to avoid anything. Everything is in your face. So one of the tools I would use with that too is, because quite often we go to, what am I going to lose? Like if I do this, I'm going to lose, or I'll lose this, lose that, lose this. So I started flipping that in the last year and going, what if I never lost anything? What if I always gained? So if I made this choice, what would I gain here? Or when something is frustrating or gut-wrenching or something and you're just like, you're like, okay, what am I going to gain with this choice?
I love that. That mindset shift is so important. And like I mentioned, you know, I didn't realize until recently how important the mindset piece of having a business, a successful business, is, because I'm very good at doing the work, at working hard, quote unquote, whatever that may look like for the person. But mindset is such a crucial part of also having a successful business.
Yeah, I was just watching on, I think it's on Netflix, and I think in Australia it's called Point Break. It's about all the tennis players. And what I found so interesting with that is they're phenomenal, right? They're phenomenal tennis players. And then they have all these different people within their team. But the one piece I could see that they were falling in is the mental stuff. Like they would let things get to them mentally. And it's interesting because in Access, we have one of our body processes is called the bars. And it's 32 different points on the head. And it, like when you start to run them, all you have to do to receive it is lie down, right? And the person who runs bars is touching these 32 different points in your head. And basically what it starts to do is delete and erase all the different points of view you have around money, control, you know, sadness, joy, aging, sexuality, hopes and dreams, control, healing, like all these different points. And the best way I can describe it, it's like getting, you know, a whiteboard and you just, you know, erasing everything out, and then you have this blank slate. So again, you can sort of go, okay, so where am I at with this? And so watching this, I'm like, okay, who can I approach? Who can I meet? And who can I talk to about getting bars into all of the tennis competitions, like the Australian Open, the US Open, et cetera, and having that be available for sports people. So that's something that I actually am looking at in March. I'm going to meet with a few different people and go, what could this look like? But, you know, I have no idea if it's going to work or not. But if you keep asking and you keep moving forward, then it's like, okay, what could this look like? Who could I meet? you know, and then I met someone the other day who is good friends with an ex, you know, very famous Australian tennis player. And I was like, okay. She said, if you get me something, I can hand it to him and he, you know, might know who to introduce. But that's the way, as you say, like with entrepreneurial stuff, that's the way it has to roll. You have to be willing to knock on doors, ask questions, come up with an idea and keep moving forward and don't negate it. Like if that doesn't work out, okay, but don't go, that didn't work. Maybe that shows up in 5 years' time or 10 years' time or 6 months' time. But you kill those future possibilities by going, oh, well, that didn't work out. That's just based on a judgment on timeline.
Yeah. Yes to everything. I love it. And I love your mindset as well. And I find having been an entrepreneur for a while now that I see opportunities everywhere. It sounds like just as you do. Whereas I know before I have worked the 9-to-5 before and I never was looking for opportunities. But, you know, a great example is so my partner is an influencer and he was trying to find some agencies here in Latin America to work with. And he just couldn't. And nothing reliable, nothing reputable, nothing that had good customer service and would answer their emails and DMs. And I was like, there's a business here. Whereas normally I would have been like, oh, that's too bad. I guess it's not going to work out for you. But is now a business where you can have good customer service and the things that everybody, the basics, unfortunately. Once you actually start just talking to people and making connections and looking at in your daily life, they're everywhere. And then sometimes, you know, I really have to stay in my lane. I could have a million different businesses, but it's really what am I passionate and what do I want to spend my time on and what do I want to grow?
I've got a really strong like thing this year that I wanted to have a look at is if you look at history and before 1970s, we didn't rely on government. We relied on businesses. We relied on each other. Okay. So, and then since the 1970s, we started to rely on governments and we started to, God forbid, trust governments and, you know, people put all of that. What I would like to do is I would like to empower every single person in the world who has an idea, who has those possibilities to show up, to start choosing that. Because I think we need to create a world that's really different. And if we start creating businesses that are profitable too, like you can have a business that is profitable. It contributes to others. It contributes to the planet. It contributes to you. It contributes to people around you. And you can create those businesses and we can contribute to each other on the planet, I think, like nothing we've ever done before. So that is my target.
I love that. What a great mission. And it sounds like with everything you're doing, you're very much so on the way, but I would love to stay connected. And I love everything about that mission and to help you and build something along that journey. Thank you for sharing that. So I think now the last topic that I really want to touch on is being a female entrepreneur. And because even for myself, it's very interesting, I guess. It's kind of like, how do I put this? You know exactly what I'm talking about, but it's, you know, how do you put it in words of being a female, having other societal expectations and also running a business and what I do. There's my field is very, very male dominated. I'm sure you've been in field and rooms where it's the same. And I'm just curious what that journey has looked like for you and how you have pivoted and adjusted, or if not, if that is something that you have found that it's really been beneficial to just embrace that completely.
Yeah, I think I have a weird point of view here. There was quite a few years ago, it was International Women's Day, and a male friend of mine who's a colleague that I work with, and he sent me this really beautiful email. And he said, Simone, I can't think of anyone better to acknowledge on International Women's Day than you and everything that you have created as a woman and da-da. And it was this really beautiful email, but I remember reading it going, what? Because I was like, I had never looked at myself as a woman in business. I looked at myself as a person in business, as this, you know, as this being in business. So I hadn't actually segregated myself. But I will say there was many different times that I've come across something where you notice the difference and it's palpable. And what I've had to do, so, I mean, many, many years ago, I used to import, export and from India and Nepal, et cetera. They didn't want to deal with a woman. So I needed to learn how to deal with that and how to not fight it, but work around it. Like even at one stage, I took a male friend of mine with me overseas and it was hilarious because I'd been doing business with these guys for ages. And then all of a sudden, because I had this male friend, they just directed everything at him. But I was like, this is interesting. And instead of taking offense, I was like, how do I change this? Or how do I use this to my advantage? So I think it's not about fighting it. It's about knowing that it's a lot of that is based on judgment, and that judgment doesn't have to be real. So how are you going to be and choose in this environment? And I think it really does come down to the person of how you're going to deal with this. And you can even address that. I've done that too. Is sort of stating, yeah, I know I'm a woman. Because if you do that, it's like then they have to go, oh, yeah, no, you know, and you're like, okay, you know, and really you can use being a woman to your advantage as well. So I think it's just sort of not fighting it and playing with that energy a little bit.
I'm curious, in that specific situation in India and Nepal, how did you turn that to your advantage?
Well, I was the one with the money, and I actually pointed that out as well. Because it's like, hey guys, and it's a bit of a different, there's so many different scenarios in that because of the way they do business. Because a lot of the times they won't, like if I say I want this, I was designing clothing at that point. If I want this and they don't have it, they'll tell you they have it. And because they don't want to say no. And I learned that. I was like, but you can't send me all these purple and yellow pants when I asked for blue. Like, you know, so I learned how to deal with that. So I would do things like go, okay, can you show me the material we're going to use? Okay, can you show me that you have this or whatever? Or can you blah, blah, blah. So I would go a little bit further into it because I knew that they were just trying to quote unquote please me or like dismiss me. So instead of fighting it, I'd ask another question or sort of, you know, walk, go, can we go visit? Can we go to the factory? Can we do this? Can we do that? You know, just so I could have the information myself and choose based on that. And I met some really fabulous people along the way and created so many great relationships as well. And you know what? I think that's such a key element of creating a business and the whole entrepreneurship, you know, identity that goes with it is the fabulous relationships that you do meet upon the way and how you grow from that.
Couldn't agree more. Well, thank you for sharing all of that. This has been a very interesting conversation. So where can people find you and your book online?
You can go to my website. I think I have a very unique name. It's Simone Millises, M-I-L-A-S-A-S. And so it's simonemillises.com. My Instagram, my Facebook, everything is all under my name. I haven't met another Simone Millises yet. So I have a good name for Google. And Getting Out of Debt Joyfully, Joy of Business, and third book I wrote, Relationship, Are You Sure You Want One? They are all on Amazon or any, you know, wherever you buy books online, etc. And accessconsciousness.com. Go check that out as well.
You've just listened to the Work, Wealth, and Travel podcast. If anything from this episode resonated with you, I would appreciate if you share this podcast on your socials. And of course, be sure to tag me. And don't forget to leave a review on your favorite podcast platform. Thank you for joining me on this global citizen journey, and I'll see you in the next episode.